Queen Nzinga of Angola. The first slaves brought to Jamestown came from the west coast of Africa on a Dutch ship. But the Dutch weren't the first European nation to trade in West African slaves. The Portuguese, who lived in a small seagoing nation on the coast of the Spanish Peninsula, had made a fortune selling African slaves to other European countries. Portuguese slave traders thought of the huge African continent as an inexhaustible source of slaves and wealth. But one woman made it her life's work to fight against the Portuguese invaders. The Princess Nzinga was born into the royal family of Ndomba, a kingdom on the western coast of Africa. As long as she could remember, Portuguese traders had been landing on the shores of her homeland, offering cloth, jewelry, and rum in exchange for prisoners. Nzinga didn't know what happened to these prisoners, but she knew that once they boarded the slave ships, they were never seen again. Nzinga's father, the ruler of Ndomba, was wary of the Portuguese ships. They brought fascinating European goods, and they treated him with respect, as a king should be treated, but he had also heard rumors that they might attack him and capture some of his land. The rumors were true. For many years, the Portuguese had been careful to make friends with the kings of African kingdoms near the coast: Ndomba, Congo, to the north, and Matamba, a little to the northeast. The Portuguese king wrote letters to the king of Congo, calling him most powerful and excellent king, and sent experts in farming to West Africa to serve the African people. In exchange for this friendliness, the Portuguese expected to receive as many prisoners of war as these kingdoms could provide. But as Nzinga grew to be a woman, the slave trade itself began to change. The colonies in North and South America demanded more slaves than the African kingdoms could willingly provide, and other European nations, the English, Dutch, and French, were beginning to send slave ships to West Africa. The Portuguese wanted to keep part of Africa for their very own, an African kingdom of slaves which no English or Dutch trader could use. So the Portuguese king decided to attack and conquer Ndomba. He sent an army to invade Nzinga's homeland. After Ndomba was captured, the Portuguese planned to settle 100 families there and rename it the Kingdom of Sebastião. But the conquest of Ndomba didn't go as planned. Nzinga's father led his people against the Portuguese invaders in battle after battle. By the time Nzinga had grown to be a woman, Ndomba and Portugal had been fighting for almost 30 years. Nzinga joined in the fighting. She led a trained band of women warriors against the Portuguese again and again. She gained a reputation for bravery and cruelty. When Nzinga was 34, her brother Mbandi became king in her father's place. Nzinga loved her two sisters, who fought beside her in her warrior band. But she thought her brother was a weak, cowardly whiner, more interested in food than in leadership. Mbandi was afraid of his sister. He knew she was stronger than he was, and he suspected that she would be a better ruler. So when he took over the throne, he drove her out of the kingdom. But after a few years of war, Mbandi realized that he would never be able to defeat the Portuguese. He decided that he would try to make a treaty with them instead. The Portuguese, tired of the unending battles, were willing to meet for peace talks. But Mbandi was too frightened to travel to their headquarters. Instead, he sent a message to his sister Nzinga. "Go and meet with the Portuguese for me," he said. "Convince them to leave us in peace, and I will allow you to return to your homeland." Nzinga agreed to go. She knew that the people of Ndomba had not been able to outfight the Portuguese. Perhaps she could outwit them instead. So she dressed in her royal robes, collected a retinue of servants, and journeyed to the town where the Portuguese leaders had set up their headquarters. The Portuguese gave her a comfortable and luxurious house to stay in, and sent missionaries to talk to her. Nzinga listened carefully. When she realized that the Portuguese would treat her with more respect if she were a Christian, she allowed herself to be baptized and to be given a Christian name, Ana de Sousa. She also ordered her sisters, Kifunji and Mukumbu, to be baptized. The Portuguese gave them the names Lady Grace and Lady Barbara. And then the day to settle the terms of the treaty arrived. When Nzinga walked into the hall where she would meet with the Portuguese leader, she looked around and saw only one chair. The Portuguese leader sat on a jeweled, carved chair of state, but he had tossed a cushion on the floor for Nzinga. Nzinga turned to the servant behind her and raised her eyebrows. At once, the woman came forward and fell down on her hands and knees. Nzinga tossed her robe out behind her and seated herself royally on her human throne. Now she could look the Portuguese in the eye. When the treaty talks were over, the Portuguese had agreed to treat Ndomba as an independent African kingdom as long as all of the Portuguese captives taken in the Long War were sent home. Nzinga rose and started from the room. Her servant remained on her hands and knees. The governor stood as well. "Your throne," he pointed out. Nzinga threw him a royal glance. "Great queens," she said, "do not use the same throne twice." She stalked out and returned home to Ndomba. But the peace treaty Nzinga had negotiated didn't last. The Portuguese, once again running low on slaves, invaded Ndomba again, kidnapping its people and packing them on board the slave ships. Nzinga begged her brother to fight back, but he refused. Perhaps he was afraid to lead warriors armed with spears against the guns of the Portuguese. Nzinga was furious with her brother's cowardice. Then, unexpectedly, Mbandi died. Many people whispered that Nzinga had poisoned him, afraid that he would lose the kingdom to Portugal forever. No one knows for sure. But we do know that Nzinga declared herself queen and began a lifelong war against the Portuguese. The Portuguese captured her capital city and drove her from her palace. Nzinga simply invaded the nearby kingdom of Matamba and took its throne instead. Whenever the Portuguese tried to bring parties of slaves from other West African nations to the coast, Nzinga would send her soldiers to attack them. After years and years of struggling against Nzinga's fighters, the Portuguese finally gave up. They told Nzinga that she could return to her throne in Ndomba and rule it in peace, as long as she allowed them to pass through the kingdom with slaves on their way to the coast. Nzinga, now in her 70s, agreed. In great ceremony, she returned to the palace she had left years before. When she died, at the age of 81, she was buried with a bow and arrow in her hands, ready for battle. But after Nzinga's death, the Portuguese took over Congo, Matamba, and Ndomba. Because Nzinga's people had called her Angola, or War Chief, the Portuguese thought that Angola was the proper name of her country, so they called their new colony Angola. And Angola remained under Portuguese rule until November 11th, 1975, 300 years later.